In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. One of the first lessons of safety when you're out in the woods is never get between a mama bear and her cubs. It may just be the last thing you ever do. Now, this protective instinct isn't limited to just bears. I know I shared this story years ago, but it's worth sharing again. And a few of you weren't even born yet, so you'll get to hear it for the first time. This goes way back to the year 2001. We were vacationing on Lake Superior, and there was in the lake a mama duck with about 7 little ducklings bobbing along behind her. It was the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life. The problem is a very hungry seagull was circling high in the air over them, drifting closer and closer, hoping for an afternoon snack. And finally, the seagull selects one of the ducklings from the menu and dives for it. Up until that point in my life, in a match between a seagull and a duck, I'd have gone with the seagull. How wrong I was. I mean, under ordinary circumstances, maybe the seagull would have the advantage. Sharper beak, more mobile, and definitely an incentive being so ravenous. But these were not ordinary circumstances. This mama duck's children were at risk, and she set aside her own safety. Her children's welfare came first. Now, I expected her to maybe flap her wings a little bit or something. What I didn't expect was for this mama duck to leap out of the water, grab the seagull by the tail feathers with her beak, and shake it back and forth like a dog would, the entire seagull flopping back and forth in the breeze. That seagull had no idea what it had gotten itself into. Now, it did manage to get free from the mama duck and took off into the distance, never to be seen again. Now today in our gospel story, Jesus contrasts the character of a shepherd with a hireling in the caring for sheep. When the wolves come, when danger approaches, Jesus says the hirelings flee. They leave because they care only about themselves. The hireling is in it for the wages, for what's coming my way. And when danger approaches, the hireling skedaddles. A good shepherd, on the other hand, stays. The good shepherd faces down danger in devotion to the flock, and indeed, not just to the flock as a whole, but to every individual sheep. Each sheep is important. And in fact, a good shepherd would be willing to die at the mouths of the wolves if necessary for the sake of the sheep. There's a bond. There's a loyalty. And above all, there is sacrificial love in which the shepherd is one with the sheep. And of course, in this parable, Jesus is the good shepherd, and humanity, each one of us, is his sheep. When we were lost, Jesus came and found us. And finding us subject to death, Jesus lays down his life for us, accepting death on the cross. Jesus came into the world as our loving shepherd. You might say he's our mama bear and we're the cubs. Or Jesus is our mama duck who takes death by the tail and gives it a shaking hard enough to send it away for good. And here's his love for us. Our sin and the consequences of our sin are our own doing as a people. But still, Jesus doesn't flee. The Son of God enters your life and your brokenness and your pain and nurtures you back to health without counting the cost to himself. And our wounds, whether we're born with them, whether they're at the hands of somebody else, or whether they're self-inflicted, Jesus does not flee, but he tends to these wounds, nursing us back to wholeness. And here's the beauty of it. This love of his has spread into the world through those who love him. Through those who love him. Any lover of Jesus can become a good shepherd. I mean, if a mama duck or a mama bear can shepherd, a person created in the image of God can shepherd. Here's an example. Today in the church, we celebrate St. Tikhon, who labored in America in the early 20th century. And then the gospel reading we had with this selection of the Good Shepherd is appointed for his day on purpose because, in imitation of our Savior, Tikhon was a good and loving shepherd himself. Now, while in America, Tikhon oversaw the establishment of hundreds of churches. It's a big number, hundreds of churches. He initiated the first extensive translation of worship services into English. And with all his episcopal duties, Tikhon still made time to visit people personally in hospitals and prisons. It was said that he rarely reprimanded anyone. And even when he had to, he did so, it said, with a sense of humor so as not to discourage the person. So right about the time of the Communist Revolution, Tikhon was recalled to Russia for the election of a new patriarch. Three names were put forward in this election: Bishop Anthony, the most scholarly and learned; Bishop Arseny, the strictest; and this Bishop Tikhon, known as the kindest. Now, Bishop Arseny, the strictest, by far got the most votes, but that didn't matter alone. By the procedure, all three names were put into a cup, and one name was drawn, and it was Tikhon. Apparently, God values kindness over education and strictness. In fact, as we talked about in adult ed last week, not only is strictness not a virtue, strictness is a vice. Strictness is spiritually destructive. And of course, of those three, learned, strict, and kind, only kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit was with Tikhon as his sheep began to suffer great persecution under this new communist government, these wolves that were attacking the faithful. Tikhon never abandoned them. He'd advocate for the falsely imprisoned. He'd show kindness to the many who even opposed him, and even sold off some of the overabundance of church wealth and holdings to assist victims of a famine, an act which actually made him many, many enemies. Eventually, due to persecution, imprisonment, solitary confinement by the communist government, and declining health, Tikhon fell asleep in the Lord in 1925. And in his 8 years as patriarch of a suffering church, he never lost his simplicity or his kindness or even his humor. And nor did he ever abandon even one of his flock, always identifying closely with their own suffering. Now, St. Tikhon is but one bit of proof that the love of Christ, the Good Shepherd, is spread into the world through those who love him. I mean, not only has Jesus not abandoned you himself, he visits you in love through the countless loving shepherds in your life. Countless loving shepherds who share his love for you. I mean, some of your loving shepherds are probably pretty obvious to you, and some maybe not so obvious, but they're there. I mean, it could be a grandparent or a parent. It could be a priest or a teacher or a spiritual director. Your shepherd could be a best friend, a sibling, or a cousin. It could be someone who holds you in prayer that you don't even know about. One or more of your loving shepherds might even be a person substantially younger than you. I can't count how many times that I've been comforted or sustained or healed by a student or a child or a grandchild or a godchild because of their love and kindness for me. It is the love of Christ that is working through all these good shepherds. It is love that tends your wounds and nurses you to wholeness. The shepherding instinct is found in mama bears and mama ducks as a primitive form of love, a love that faces danger, even at risk to one's own self, to protect and defend the other. If that level of shepherding can be found in the likes of ducks and bears, how much greater the love and protection that's available to you when you are wounded or troubled. A deep, infinite love found in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and in the love of those shepherds that he sends you. Amen.